Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And joining us today, we have
Chris Lambert.
And we have three guys on. And who is this?
This is Hiatus Coyote.
Oh, yeah, I've heard you talking about them.
From Australia. I just found out about them a couple weeks ago. And unshout out to Courtney Farrington, who didn't tell me anything about this. He told me when I posted something about it, when one of my buddies told me to check them out, and I posted, "Oh, listen to these guys. These guys are great." And Courtney was like, "Oh, I just saw them at Brooklyn Bowl." Well, thanks, Courtney. Thanks, buddy. Thought we were friends.
Courtney was there by himself. I don't know. A bunch of white girls.
Probably. I mean, I have a buddy that works the door at Brooklyn Bowl, and I went to go see Little Dragon. And I was hanging outside talking to him, and he said, "Hey, you got to check this band out, Hiatus Coyote." And I was like, all right. You know when people say, "Hey, you should check out these."
You know who you would like.
And I said, "You know what? Let me check these guys." My mind was fucking blown away. They just have some great jams. They're from Australia. They got nominated.
Kind of Midnight Oily.
Midnight there are.
Everybody from Australia is kind of Midnight Oily.
Midnight Oil or Jet.
Okay. So you guys are the
this is the rock band.
Old school. That's old school.
You know you're Midnight, I think the two of you are a little more
Dexy's Midnight Runners from Australia. No.
I don't think they are, but Russell Crowe was in a band. Yeah. So he's Australian.
I think his brand was called 30 Odd Front.
Yes.
They got nominated for a Grammy.
What's the most famous Australian band besides the
AC/DC? AC/DC by far.
Yeah. Well, Bee Gees though are Australia.
Were they?
Yeah.
I thought they were British.
They were born in Australia. Then they make them this because their family. They talked about that one time. That's to their background. I'm pretty
the
sure
Bee Gees.
Australian.
You gotta get on the mic.
I'm pretty sure they're Australian.
I think
their family
British.
Was sent off the way they sent the.
Oh, they were family of criminals.
Yeah, I think it was one of those type of things. Let's see here.
AC/DC is the biggest Australian band ever.
Probably thinking about it now. Well, until these girls take them over.
Now, what is Little Dragon? Or is it Lil?
I played one of their records. One of the last times I was on, I played a cover that they did of Millionaire. Khalees did a song called Millionaire. There's this show on YouTube called Like a Version. Well, they'll have bands do covers.
Right, okay.
And then they'll do one of their own songs. But Little Dragon's a band from Sweden. And they're really good, too.
When are you going to start liking some American bands?
American bands.
I do.
Love America?
I try to be like a America? I try to play some cool stuff that maybe people haven't heard of.
Right, right.
I take picking my songs for you guys seriously. I feel like I'm your unofficial musical intern.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you're who I go to.
You got your ear to the streets.
You and Courtney.
Yeah.
Got your ears to the streets.
Courtney knows his shit, but I'm really disappointed in him with this. And I was sleeping on these guys because they got nominated for a Grammy. They had this song with Q-Tip that he did a remix on, and I really think was misplayed. Like, he's in my top five, but he didn't need to be on that song. But Salaam Remy, who produces Nas, and he worked with Amy Winehouse, had his hand in this whole project. And I just saw Salaam Remy in the Amy Winehouse documentary, which was really good, but really
Bee Gees side. Well, before we go down that aisle, the Bee Gees were born on the Isle of Man to English parents. Then the Gibb brothers lived in Chorlton, Manchester, England, until the late 1950s and formed the Rattlesnakes. The family then moved to Redcliffe, which is in Queensland, Australia, and then went to Crib Island. After achieving their first chart success in Australia, so I guess that would they count as an Australian band.
Yeah, they came out of that scene.
The Bee Gees have sold more than 220 million records worldwide, making them one of the world's best-selling music artists of all time.
220 million?
Yeah, they were inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 1997.
That might be bigger than AC/DC.
Yeah, the Bee Gees Hall of Fame citation says only the Elvis Presley, the Beatles, Michael Jackson, Garth Brooks, and Paul McCartney have outsold the Bee Gees. They're bigger than AC/DC.
Garth Brooks or Chris Gaines?
Garth Brooks, underrated.
Chris Gaines is out of his fucking mind.
Underrated man.
Chris Gaines, we're yin and yang on this. Chris Gaines out of his fucking mind.
Chris Gaines is incredible.
Garth Brooks.
I hope he comes out of hiatus soon. Chris Gaines.
So that I would have to say it's as far as Australian groups, the Bee Gees are at the top, clearly. Then would be AC/DC, I'd be willing to bet.
Yeah, and then there's a huge drop.
Yeah, drop off. To Men at Work and Midnight Oil.
Silverchair.
And I would put Men at Work above Midnight Oil. And Silverchair probably behind Men at Work.
They had a few good years. Iggy Azalea. Yeah, that's the other thing. Not a lot of rappers out of... not any of the crossed over.
Yeah, we know.
They probably have a bunch.
Yeah.
They got a lot of Lils.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Lil Koala or something.
Yeah. Not any we know.
Oh, and these guys...
Lil Rue.
Hiatus Coyote. They apparently do the theme music for Hannibal Buress' new show.
Oh, okay.
Which I haven't seen yet. So
neither have I.
But I DVR'd it, so I'll watch it when I get home.
That's how we do everything now.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we're out late comedians, so anytime another comedian's on late at night,
Friday or
Saturday, I just DVR it.
I'll get to it later.
Yeah. Usually it's Sunday afternoon when I'm half sleeping, trying to watch it.
It's not funny. I'm not laughing.
Yeah.
Because you're tired.
He's put me to sleep, man. God,
what did you think of the Amy Winehouse?
It was really good. It was just because I was telling you last night, I knew who she was and I thought that she was talented, but I just didn't really know her story. Mm-hmm. And it just seemed like one of those girls who had, you know, you had this dream. I don't even think she had the dream. She just seemed like, I'll sing. I like singing. Mm-hmm. Let's make a record.
Records.
And it was huge. And I think she was probably also battling with her parents not being together. Because a lot of that music, like, it's interesting how they showed it, because they would do one of her songs and they would show the lyrics, kind of like if you saw the Kurt Cobain, the latest one from
Montage of Heck,
like, it would show the lyrics and it would have more potency, and you'd just be like, fuck.
Yeah. Well, Larry XL pointed out something. Larry XL, good comedian, pointed out something on Facebook and was saying, yeah, everybody calm down about how great she was. She had one album, two. She had two albums. That was it. You know, she was a great performer and all that, but.
That's fine, but
you got to have a breath of a career before people. I mean, I guess it's.
Well, I think
it's kind of a double-edged thing, because if you die early, then all they got is what they got of you, and what they got of you is great.
It was more like, don't say she's Ella Fitzgerald.
Yeah, I feel the same way.
But you can say
the same
she's
way
great.
About Kurt Cobain.
Well, Tony Bennett,
slow down. He had how many albums did Nirvana have? One?
No, they had. Well, okay, they had before they got famous. They had one.
Yeah,
which people went back and bought. Then they had Nevermind, which was their breakthrough
with the baby in the pool.
With the baby in the pool, and then they had. Well, their next real release was In Utero, which was huge. But in between those two, they had a B-sides compilation called Incesticide, which kind of tied the fans over.
Okay.
Then Cobain died, and then Unplugged came out after he died, which was really good. So they had a little more output.
A little bit more of than Amy Winehouse.
They had a few albums. Yeah, they have a lot of songs that you can kind of discover still.
Did they have more than Left Eye?
I don't know if they had more than Left.
That's fucked up, man.
Left Eye. R.I.P. Left Eye.
R.I.P.
Pretty good, really good performance
by Little
Mama.
I'm going to watch the Nina Simone.
The Nina Simone doc was good. I got something to say about that.
Yeah, but maybe. Don't say she's on Amy Winehouse's level.
No, I'm not going to say that.
But Nina Simone? No way.
What Tony Bennett said, he kind of alluded to the fact that, you know,
sarcasm.
It teaches you, like, he said something like, life teaches you how to live it if you get old enough.
Yeah.
And he was just saying that she had the potential to be great. And she was a very talented singer.
We all saw that. Too bad she was a fucking hardcore drug addict.
Yeah, and she, you know,
chasing them demons.
And I didn't realize her dad was filming a reality show, like when she with I think it was called like My Daughter.
Oh God,
Amy. And she was like, "Hey, Dad, are you trying?" She's like, "Are you trying to make a mug of me? Are you trying to make a mug of me, Dad?"
Very polite arguments.
Yeah, and it's just like,
I don't think we should do that, Father.
Right, but she loved her dad. Like, she really loved her dad, and she seemed like there's this part in the movie. I'm not trying to get she dies.
Okay, stop talking about it. Oh, man. Because people are gonna watch it.
Spoiler, man.
Damn it, spoiler.
Sorry, I didn't want to spoil.
That's the other thing that I guess a band like Nirvana would have over someone like Amy Winehouse is they toured the world multiple times.
Mm-hmm.
So there's also a lot of live clips. There's a live album. Yeah. Amy Winehouse didn't. She didn't even have that. She didn't have like the world tours.
Yeah,
she didn't have much. She had a few videos, maybe three videos that she made.
I don't think she remember won the one it. Time. She didn't want it.
Remember one time I saw her. I think it was New Year's Eve, and she was singing. And they went to interview her after she sang. And she was high as a kite. Mm-hmm. You could see it. She got through the song great.
Yeah,
right.
But it was just autopilot. Was high as a kite.
I didn't know she was friends with Mos Def like that, or Yasiin Bey.
Yeah, Yasiin Bey. Also, that
Questlove.
They were going to do that now. That group, the super group, Questlove, Mos Def, Raphael Sadiq, and somebody else. Was there another one?
I think it was just them.
Just them. That would have been fucking.
That would have been great.
Oh, that would have been good.
Looks good on paper.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, I mean,
you never know with supergroups.
Skeptical Andy.
Well, supergroups don't have a good history. Supergroups have they often are not as.
You mean damn Yankees don't have a good history?
Damn Yankees, just one of the many.
Damn Yankees aren't something. You know who Damn Yankees were?
No,
that was a white boy supergroup. Some guys from Styx, a couple guys from Night Ranger who came out of Santana's band. A couple guys from Night Ranger,
right?
Okay. And Ted Nugent.
Who did the song?
Who does a great joke about them? About damn Yankees. Patton. Patton does a great joke about damn Yankees.
Who does the? Who did the song "Handle Me with Care"?
Mm-hmm. I don't even know that one.
I'm so tired of being lonely.
That's Roy Orbison.
Roy Orbison. Is it somebody else too?
Oh, Traveling Wilburys.
Oh, the Traveling Wilburys. It's their song. Yeah.
They were
a super group.
Yeah, they were together for
years.
Good.
I know.
I guess older white male super groups.
Well, they made one Traveling Wilburys album.
Yeah.
And that was like Tom Petty, George Harrison from the Beatles. You had Jeff Lynne from ELO, and you had Roy Orbison, and then they were set to make another album, I think, and Roy Orbison died.
Yeah.
So they were like, oh, no more Traveling Wilburys.
Well, you also have the Highwaymen, which was Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, Kris Kristofferson.
Right.
And
that other guy.
Johnny Cash, Kris Kristofferson, and the Weedhead, Willie Nelson.
Willie Nelson. All right.
Yeah. I actually have one of their songs, the Highwaymen song, and they toured a lot. And I think Waylon Jennings died first because he was the hardest of the living. He died first.
And then the supergroup is over. You can't replace him.
Yeah. Well, shortly after that, Johnny Cash got sick. So.
Right.
I'm a little out of my element with that, but I just know the reason I know of it was from Jenny Lewis, who's one of my favorite singers. She had an album called Rabbit Fur Coat with the Watson Twins, these two twins that basically sung the harmonies for her. They did that.
Like Whispers,
of that.
Like Scotty,
I guess. But it's a really great. She's like Jenny Lewis is kind of folky, kind of reminds you of like. Now, see, you might yell at me, but like Patsy Cline type, like country.
That's a high bar, man.
Country somebody, tinge. I know you're gonna say that.
That's a high bar, man. Put her on Patsy Cline.
I mean, she's kind of like a throwback. She's like a really good storyteller with lyrically. And I'm trying to find who she did the song with. I know it was like Connor. Okay, here we go. Shit.
Well, Connor Oberst?
Yes, Connor Oberst. But I think, is that it? There was somebody else too. But it was like Bob Dylan, George Harrison, Jeff Lynne, Roy Orbison, Tom Petty. I thought they were going to have who did the cover of the song. And I am.
Nope.
No,
they
of course not.
Don't. But it was really good. I think that's one of my favorite singers.
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young supergroup, you know, Audio Slave sort of.
Well, they really supergroup this added Young.
Mos Def and Talib Kweli.
Yeah, but they all went on to their separate
I mean,
things.
I suppose I became aware of Mos Def and Talib Kweli because they were together.
Yeah, that was their
That's
first
That's how I became,
that was their first
I became
release.
Aware of them because of that.
Yeah. Well, they said it was like, they said, like looking back, they said that that was two solo artists getting together and make doing a thing. And
Black Star. Mm-hmm. That's how I became aware of them.
Me too.
Black Star.
Yeah, because you know. Before that, Mos Def was doing a Visa commercial with Deion Sanders, where he's like, "You're Deion Sanders," and the Cosby Mysteries. Oh, yeah. Sorry, can we see
on the Cosby Mysteries?
Oh, boy.
No, Clavin.
Hey guys, lay off Bill Cosby. All right, no one's—he's never been found guilty.
Lay off him because he'll lay on you.
Never been found guilty. I mean, you guys are rushing to judgment.
Yeah, we know, Whoopi.
God, every time he comes up on a podcast, thank God I saw him the weekend right before.
I saw.
I know you did.
3 Father's Days ago was my Father's Day present. And then,
Yeah.
Yep.
And I'm so glad because I was like, he would never get another dime out of me.
Yeah.
after that. I'm so glad I got to see him before that.
I was very prescient. I kind of knew that something was wrong
well,
with the guy. I didn't want to give him my money. That's why I never saw him. I was like,
of course.
I don't really trust this Bill Cosby guy, you know?
It's pretty grimy. It's pretty grimy. Here's the thing about the Quaaludes. I mean, back in the 70s, wasn't Quaalude sex pretty much tantamount to like ecstasy sex now?
I don't even know. I know it was used a lot.
Yeah,
then.
That was like a thing. Like for those who don't know, ecstasy sex is supposed to be the bomb. Now, I've had weed sex, which is really good.
Weed.
But I've never fucked around with ecstasy. I've never tried
I've
it.
Never had it either.
I don't need anything that makes my heart beat faster than it already beats.
People who take ecstasy, they often will like give each other foot rubs. It heightens
sensation.
Physical sensations.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's a lot of physical contact anyway. So I guess sex is just another level of that.
Yeah.
Quaaludes is a depressant.
Weed sex, I don't know. But, you know, I thought maybe that was a thing. I don't know. We weren't there in the 70s. When's the last time you heard anybody talk about Quaaludes past 1977?
Like Wolf of Wall Street.
You know what I mean?
I don't know.
Wasn't that
it wasn't Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah.
Wasn't like Scarface? Wasn't there a mention of the Quaaludes in there?
And briefly,
possibly?
Giving them one to Michelle Pfeiffer to calm her ass down.
Yeah.
Probably. Go take a Quaalude. You know, some shit like that.
Right.
You know, so having said that, I mean, if you're slipping into a girl and she doesn't know it, specifically for sex, and it's still, I mean, it's the same thing with ecstasy. If you give somebody ecstasy,
it's not just the Quaaludes.
Specifically to get them high to fuck them.
It's mixing it with alcohol.
Yeah.
That's what knocks you out.
And what did Rick Ross say in that line that he got in trouble for? Something she didn't know it.
Yeah, slipping a Molly in her drink or something. She didn't know it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's that Molly at ecstasy. That Molly.
That's what ecstasy is now. Molly.
Yeah, Molly. You know, so. Having said that, I mean, he did that shit, man.
Oh, yeah.
Come on. Come on, Whoopi. That's what I would tell. If I was just sitting on the set, would I just be like, come on, son. Come on. You got to get talent to come out. Not talent. Is it Ed Lover's thing?
Ed Lover. Come on, son.
Come on, son.
Well, she's doing the whole thing where it's like, hey, I mean, we are innocent until proven guilty
in this
country.
She also defended Roman Polanski. I had to remind somebody
of that. Court of law. He hasn't been found guilty, so I don't think he did it.
She defended Roman Polanski,
who got
nailed for fucking some 12-year-old girl in the ass. And
oh,
she was like, but I mean, it was rape, but it wasn't rape. She said that.
They gave him the Oscar. But Eddie Murphy did Norbit, and he didn't get the Dreamgirls Oscar.
Well, you
got to
rape some guys. You got to rape some asses around these parts.
Well, the same Oscars where Polanski got the standing ovation like 10 years ago. That was the same show where Michael Moore got booed for Fahrenheit 9/11 when he mentioned like, you know, the president or whatever in his speech.
Mm-hmm.
They booed him
and
gave a standing ovation to Roman Polanski.
Stood up for a guy
on the same night.
Ass raped a 12-year-old girl.
Wow.
We got to get rid of these leaders who lie to us. Boo.
Boo. Ass rape. 12-year-old.
Yes. Yes,
right.
Queen.
That's exactly how that shit went down.
Yay.
That's exactly how that shit went down.
We should send Michael Moore to Europe and bring Roman Polanski
back. That's exactly how that shit went down.
I'm bringing Roman back. You other rapists don't.
I'm like Chris Rock on that. He's like 12? That's too close to 10.
She may have been 13.
Far away from 18, man.
I think she was 13.
Even if she's 13, so?
That's a little further from 10, is all I'm saying.
That's far away from 18.
Yeah.
Well, it's also far away from what his age was.
Yeah.
No matter what. It's like 38 or some shit.
So Whoopi defended him. Now she's defending Bill.
Well, then you got to ask Whoopi, like, do you then believe and agree with every court decision? Because yeah. her whole argument is just about how the courts haven't found him guilty of something. But I'm sure she would say there's injustice in the justice system.
An injustice anywhere is an injustice.
And I'm sure she would say anywhere. That courts get it wrong sometimes. So, I mean, even the argument she makes, she probably doesn't believe in a lot of other cases. She's just probably friendly with Bill Cosby.
She's riding for Bill Cosby.
Looked up to him for a long time. And maybe she just can't. She's still in the denial phase. You know, the five stages of grief.
And Jill Scott had to walk her statements back.
She walked it.
And she's like, you know, all right. I was fucked up. That was her mentor. Some people got to give people. Just got to say.
Days on Love won't walk away from it.
Yeah. he got arrested for beating his wife or something.
Isn't that weird?
I don't know if that's true, though.
Oh, it's
what,
not.
The beating?
It's not picked up on any real websites.
Okay, so it's not fake.
He got busted 4 years ago.
Oh, okay.
It was fourth degree, which is like the lowest degree.
Because he's supposed to be at the Funny Bone.
What did he do?
Beach.
Shake the shit out of somebody?
Something like that. Like he got arrested and let out like that night. Then the news story is like, it's hard to find real information about it. Yeah. And it's not on any like legit sites.
Yeah, because somebody said
riding.
Something.
I don't understand black people riding for Bill Cosby. Stop riding for Bill Cosby so hard, man. Just let the shit go. Don't say nothing. Just let it go. You don't got to say anything.
But don't you see how they're always trying to
take down,
you know,
a black
take down. Man. They're going to wait till he's in his late 70s.
His career's in the twilight.
Yeah.
He's in the last quarter of the lap.
They're taking him down, man. And this is just a distraction. You know, all over the world, there's the Confederate flag stuff, and they're just trying to distract you. And we know that you're not able to multitask.
Thank you, D. White Man.
They think you're stupid, but I think you're stupider because I think you can't be interested in two topics at one time.
God.
So I'm calling you an idiot because you're distracted by Bill Cosby.
It's a distraction from Ariana Grande licking donuts
and hating
America.
That's a distraction from other things.
Yeah.
Like everything's a distraction from something else.
I don't understand that one. I was like, she licked a donut.
She's just fucking goofing off. She's probably a little high.
Yeah. She had some goofers.
What donut shop just puts the donuts out?
I didn't understand that one either. Yeah. I was like, the donuts are just out?
And they said something like the FDA was been looking into the fact that the donuts were out.
I don't think that's... I mean, you don't leave donuts out. Flies can get them.
That
you're
was
supposed
on
to put
CNN.
Them behind that little fucking
well,
door.
What if someone fucking sneezes?
Yeah, you're supposed to keep them in like a case, right?
Well, this is the thing about...
In the grocery store, they're in cases.
This is the thing about Dunkin' Donuts that I've never understood. And probably all donut shops. You go to Dunkin' Donuts... You say, give me two of those and two of those or whatever. They take that little piece of wax paper so their hand doesn't touch the donut.
They're building one right there.
And Potbelly.
They're building a Potbelly's over here?
Nearby, yeah.
Are you serious?
I think that way, down that way, where Domino's is.
Five Guys used to be? Or next to the Domino's?
No, Five Guys, that whole area is going to be Harris Teeter.
Oh, okay.
Really? Yeah, in a few years. But I think Potbelly's gonna be down by where Domino's
is good, you guys.
Where Dunkin' Donuts is. Yeah,
they had them in Chicago.
They got one
by
Boston. I used to eat there a couple times a week.
It's good.
I was working in Boston.
Nice.
But Dunkin' Donuts will take the donuts off the shelf with that little piece of wax paper so that their hand doesn't touch the donuts.
Yeah,
right.
Their hand only touches the wax paper. They put your donuts in the bag and then they stuff that paper in there. Like, well, now your hand germs are all over it.
Yeah,
like, what was
true.
The point of that? You're supposed to throw that thing away. You open up your bag, and their rag to keep their dirty hands off of your donuts is now all over your donuts.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense.
Thank you, Andy.
It doesn't make any sense.
Real talk, Andy.
It doesn't make any sense.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah, I'm going
to
drop this on mic drop.
Now I can't go to Dunkin' Donuts.
What more can I say?
Can you throw the thing away before you put it in my bag, please?
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. You just got to divorce yourself from that shit sometimes, like when you go to... Well, Subway, now they use the plastic gloves, but I remember when Subway didn't use plastic gloves.
But what about
gloves.
Jared now? Can he still go to Subway?
Hey, man, it's just a distraction.
Yeah, it's a distraction.
He didn't do that shit.
Subway's not that good.
Somebody
to
was
be
talking to me about that.
He might
I mean, Subway is good if you need a quick sandwich.
Yeah. Andy loves it.
I don't love it. It's just available. It's quick. You know what? Now that the by my place, because there's that Subway right across the street,
which is built weird. That's the weirdest built place I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's all narrow.
It's narrow. You got to go all the way to the back to order, and then work from the back to the front.
You're standing basically in the hallway where they just store shit.
Yeah,
you're standing in a storage closet.
It's the weirdest built place.
But now, right next to it, there's a California Tortilla, so I go there now.
Okay,
all the time.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
But Subway was just, because it's either Subway or McDonald's. There's nothing
just
else around it.
Subway's everywhere.
Yeah.
That's because like they're cheap to start. You can buy a Subway franchise for like $45 and some Puma sweats.
I think Wawa.
It doesn't take a lot.
Wawa, Potbelly, and there's a chain in New Jersey called Quick Check.
Yeah.
And Sheetz. Like, they just make better sandwiches.
Yeah.
It's just better.
And Jared, I was talking to somebody about Jared, and they were like, well, how do you know he did it? I'm like, look, let me tell you something. We know someone who had went through this experience.
With Jared?
No.
Oh, shit.
With pornography on their computer.
Oh, shit.
We know someone who went through it.
Let's leave it there.
Yeah. And when the FBI shows up at that point, they're not fucking around. They've studied you for a long time.
Well, the only thing
before
that
they
would
show up at your front door.
Wow.
The only thing that would make it not necessarily him is because he has a foundation.
Yeah.
Everybody's got a foundation. Yeah. It's the Jared Fogel Healthy Eating Foundation.
Yeah.
And 3 months ago, they fired the head of the foundation because he had child porn on his computer.
Right.
So you're like, well, maybe that dude was hanging out
at
Jared's house.
I was like, he better, if that's the thing, you better say that immediately. Like, hey, man, this ain't my shit.
Yeah.
This is his motherfucking
shit. I mean,
shit.
I might hang out with a pedophile.
Put this shit on my computer. I didn't know that he was into that.
He's my boy and all, but I don't like boys.
Yeah. I didn't know he was into that shit.
You ever heard of this movie called The Woodsman with Kevin Bacon?
I saw it.
Did we talk about that before?
Yeah,
I think we did, like
Kevin Bacon most
5 or 6 years ago.
Most have hated him.
It was so good.
Yeah. And I was Bacon. It felt kind of icky watching Bacon have a pseudo sex scene with his wife.
You kind of like,
it's like
he made that guy
with your wife.
What's the word? He made that guy sympathetic. Yeah,
yeah.
A likable pedophile.
Yeah. Would you like me to sit on your lap? The little girl told him that.
Oh God.
He was like, no.
I would love it actually,
but no, I'm good.
It's just a distraction from all the problems in the world.
Yep.
I've got to focus on all the problems in the world. Stop trying to distract me. I can only focus on one
thing. Speaking of distractions, Serena Williams won today.
Yes.
Serena Williams won today.
Ass.
Yes. Did y'all see the article about that the New York Times put up?
No.
Basically, I saw that.
White girls hating.
Well, it was trying to talk about body image. Amongst all tennis players, but everything was in comparison to Serena.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. Like especially the first half of that article in particular was just like, you know, I like coaches. Like I told my girl not to lift weights because you know she doesn't need to look like that. She wants to look like a woman.
Yeah, a lot of that.
There's like three or four references.
I'm like
I want to look like a woman.
Serena looks like an Uber woman. Are you kidding
me? Yeah,
she's Uber.
JL Covan said that like
titty, gigantic she. Ass.
That she's like gorgeous, like her body's incredible, but her face, if you just took her face off and put that on a middle linebacker, it would look the same, it wouldn't be any different.
But that's pretty funny.
I was like, damn it. But other than that, like
that's pretty funny. Yeah, her body's insane. And she gets shit from Venus. She's got the same shit. Venus built like me, but she's the same shit.
Yeah, they have very different builds.
Yeah.
They don't look alike really at all.
If Venus didn't have this whole illness, they'd be running 1-2 probably in the world right now. It'd be a crazy Williams lock.
She's the best athlete, man or woman, in the world right now. She's been that way. Nobody's been more dominant than she has.
What about Mayweather, though?
Well, Mayweather picks who he fights.
Yeah.
Right.
Serena doesn't. She doesn't have control over
it. Maybe that's the next step for tennis, just to have a match on pay-per-view. Like, then they just start talking shit about each other for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
And have an HBO documentary like, man, Sharapova was a bitch, man. I'm going to fuck her up.
They should do. Well,
but and then just tune in and watch.
That's still the narrative that they create anyway. I mean, that's what you're.
Whitlock said something pretty good on ESPN the other day.
Whitlock said something good?
It was amazing, I know.
Let me hear this.
It's pretty simple, and I've always agreed with it, that the reason why she keeps beating the shit out of Maria Sharapova is because, as a black athlete, Maria Sharapova represents everything that white people like. She's tall, blonde, and attractive. she gets the highest. She makes more money than Serena does. She shouldn't, but she does. Right. She makes all her money in endorsements. Serena makes half her money in endorsements and half in prize money. Sharapova makes all her money in endorsements. She makes like $20 million in endorsements, like $2 million in prize money. Serena makes like 12 in prize, 12 in endorsements. You know what I mean? So the establishment of tennis was not nice to these girls when they first started. Let's be honest.
Right.
It just wasn't. They didn't know what to do with them. These little black girls, how dare they? How dare they come in here and think that they can change our...
Well, it was that rabble-rousing father of theirs. I mean, if you just was be quiet sometimes.
Well, of
course. Just appreciate.
Just appreciate. Just that we allowed you to be here.
Yeah.
You know? Well, and Sharapova represents everything of that for her.
Right.
So she gets up for Sharapova, and she dominates her every time. She's like a lot of black athletes feel like that, that sometimes it's crystallized into this one white player, Tom Brady. Mm-hmm. It crystallizes into this one white player, and you're like, I'm going to fucking dominate this motherfucker. If anybody else beats me, it's gonna be, I'm going to beat this guy.
That's a very salient point.
From Jason Whitlock, I was like, yeah, it's pretty.
And you sure he didn't talk about hip-hop being
a... Yeah, I know.
And then she crip-walked once, and...
Yeah.
And well, ruined it.
I mean, that's a part of the narrative, and it's just like my parents, they're in their 70s, and I have never seen them more turned up.
Or even watch tennis?
Like,
did you ever see them watch tennis?
They've been watching it for years because of them.
Only because of them.
Venus and Serena.
Same thing Tiger Woods effect.
And I was nervous being, because I don't like watching her play anyway, because I'd get nervous and all that. And then my parents, I'm sitting in there watching with them, and they're just like cursing at the TV. And it's like if Serena lost, we would have to go back to like pre-civil rights times.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it's just they're, and Serena, I love Serena because she's great. And then because she's the only thing that ties my parents together, their marriage.
Yeah.
That's the only thing.
So
that
more pressure
on.
For Serena.
Yeah. So it's like,
she has.
You got to fucking win this, Serena. Like, I don't know what kind, they got their rituals. Like, my dad said, let me take a sip of water. Every time she wins a match, like a game, a part of the set, he takes a sip of water. And I said, do you guys have another like ritual where you don't turn the air conditioning on? Is this what you guys?
Can't get up.
Yeah.
Can't get up.
It was really good to watch that. I enjoyed it. I'm glad.
Now, is your father half watching just to look at the ass?
Probably, but my dad is more analytical because he watches everybody.
Okay.
So he knew about this other girl,
whatever.
Spanish.
Loser.
She was talking shit earlier, too.
Yeah, she was talking.
And then was bawling.
And see, like, my dad can understand that. So he's more rational. But my mother's like, my dad's like, anytime somebody look wrong at Serena, she just, fuck that bitch. And then after she won, my mother was like, you know, when they had the award ceremony.
Yeah.
It's like, you got to kiss that black skin. You got to kiss that black skin.
I love old black people.
I was like, oh,
shit. I love old civil rights black people. I love it.
Damn. And she's right. You know that, right?
That's why I love it.
Because when the flag went down on Friday.
Yeah.
And my mom said, look, come in here. They taking the flag down, Chris. Still ain't going to do nothing. Still ain't going to do shit.
I love civil rights black people. I love them. Oh, I love them.
But yeah, it was great to watch.
Kiss
that skin.
I love it. That's what I like about Serena is that she pisses off the white establishment. Mm-hmm. I love that. Like, yeah, she makes them uncomfortable. Good.
And she yells every time she's, come on!
Yeah, where they tell her not to cuss. Like, we need you to stop cussing, Serena. Sure. And then under the brush, she's like, this fucking bitch. It's fucking bitch.
Tell me not to cuss, you fucking
what happened
bitch.
Last week, where a couple weeks ago, where she was like yelling, somebody was talking shit to her, the ref or something?
That was a couple years ago.
No, it was something that
happened?
Yeah.
That happened a couple years ago at the U.S. Open. She was out of control and was yelling at her. She shouldn't have done that, by the way.
Yeah.
No, yelling at a Lions girl. If I had been, I mean, her mother probably should have been like, hey, little girl, come here. Shit, let me yoke her up. Her mom yoked her up right quick.
She's just fiery.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But it's great. It's good to see, man. I like
Venus,
it.
Venus, apparently, according to the father, is like the real, mean one. Like Serena's like loud.
Mm-hmm.
Venus is the Andy Klein.
Yeah.
Like her mother, some girl said something to Venus and said muttered under her breath as Venus was walking by. Venus stopped. What'd you say? And the girl was like, I didn't say nothing. Are you sure? Say, yeah, okay.
I distinctly heard.
And then kept walking.
I heard you say something.
Because like those athletes in that situation, you have to win because you're a competitor, but then you have all that other weight of your whole culture.
Of the race.
Of the race.
Well, you got two choices. You can either embrace it, like Arthur Ashe and Serena and Ali.
Tiger
walked away from it.
He did.
So you can either choose to embrace it and accept it, or you can walk away from it. Now, what are the pros and cons? The pros is if you embrace it, then our community will love you forever.
Yeah, right.
If you never mention it, half the white community will embrace you. Mm-hmm. 75% of the black community will embrace you, but half of the white community won't embrace you. If you embrace blackness, 25% of the white community will embrace you, and 75%, another 25% will kind of like you, and the 50% is not. Your money starts to drop.
But if you're OJ, and you reject,
OJ, he rejected.
But then you kill your you kill your wife, ex-wife, and some dude. You might get that love back,
the
black love, because now you're up against the justice system.
Yeah. Well, he got it up to the
enemy of my enemy.
He
is my
got
friend.
It up through the trial.
Right.
After the trial was over, it's like, ah, fuck.
Yeah, like, I don't know that.
The trial's not really about you. It's about black skin.
Right.
It ain't really about you. Fuck you.
Right.
Now, I think that's an interesting.
It's just it's and that's
what athletes have chosen to embrace and what happened. Did Derek Jeter?
No. He just played baseball.
I don't know I don't think he ever ran from it.
It never. It's not a sport where it comes up. I mean, tennis and golf, that's part of the narrative.
Right.
But it's not no one cares. No one talks about a player's race in baseball.
I mean, it could because of how low the black baseball players' numbers are now.
Yeah, but it hasn't gotten that low.
Yeah.
It hasn't gotten low enough where you have to start identifying. Shit. Like, well, he's half. We're gonna claim him.
Well, just like in the Little League World Series when that Jackie Robinson team, I still felt something with that.
Yeah. Which I think is bullshit that this fucking coach hung on to this shit the whole time.
Yeah. Just because they got the shit beat out of him.
Yeah, they beat the shit out of that team. Yeah. They beat the shit out of that team.
Yeah, because they were illegally put together with players from outside the district.
Right.
I mean, anyone could win if they did that. You know, you should cheat. Yeah. You can't embrace cheaters. These are kids.
Right.
These are kids here.
Yeah, you're right.
You're teaching them wrong lessons to kids.
You're right.
What about the kids?
Beat the shit out of that team. Beat the shit out of them. Did you have a good fourth, man? You didn't put a firework on your head?
Got all your fingers?
No, I didn't. I didn't.
Got all your fingers? That's a big one.
Yeah, it is.
Tell people why you're in town before we talk about the fourth.
I was doing some shows at the Funny Bones in Richmond and Virginia Beach, opening for Paul Verzey. Dave Wingfield has this series, I think that it just started, called the Damn Yankees Tour. And he takes comics from the New York area
and Ted Nugent.
Yeah.
Huh?
And Ted Nugent.
And it was fun. It was good. It was I'd never been to the Richmond Funny Bone. And
what night was Richmond? Wednesday?
Richmond was Tuesday.
Okay.
And the Virginia Beach was Wednesday.
Richmond midweek is always a little bit iffy.
Yeah, it was a decent amount of people there, like 60.
All right, that's not bad.
It's not bad for like a club on a Wednesday, but there are people that were there on vacation. Their vacation just started, and they were like, "Oh man, thanks for coming down here." And
right,
you know, I just started my vacation. It was great. There was a guy from my neck of the woods in Teaneck, and so I connected with him on Twitter and Facebook. So it was cool. Had a really good time. It was good to do. I always my material. My work that I'm working on.
When I'm thinking about my art,
I was worried about how my set was gonna go because I was working on relatively new stuff, and it went well, and it was good that it went well in that market, you know,
right?
Because you never just that's because I try to make sure that I don't know, like that's just something I'm going for to try to make regular people laugh. I think when you're in New York City a lot and you're doing these Brooklyn rooms,
Bridge and Tunnel,
you're doing stuff in front of people,
hipsters,
elite, people that are living off their trust funds. And I remember one time I did it when I was in Myrtle Beach. I did a show, and the guy was like, "Oh, you were really funny." We were talking, and I said, "What do you do?" He said, "Well, I'm a mechanic. I put stuff together." You know, like like this people, just salt of the earth.
You know
people.
What that is? That's the real America.
Yeah,
The real America.
That's the real America, right there.
Yeah,
lunch.
Real
pail,
American hero.
Blue collars, trucks.
Yeah,
dirt, fire.
Like a rock.
A lot of lava soap. I mean, anyone you talk to probably had lava soap at home, you know, to get all that grime off their fingers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, people get babysitters for that shit, and you want to do a good job. So it was fun to get to work out and hang out with Paul and Dave. So it was a good time, really good time.
I haven't seen Dave Wingfield in a while.
Neither have I. He's
got
on the road
big
with
shit
Charlie
going
Murphy.
On. Yeah.
Big player doing big things.
Yeah. So it was a good time.
Oh, he thinks he's a big deal now? He's too big for us?
And then I did did Ramin's room on Thursday, and did you guys' final draft last night.
Right.
We had an incident.
Yes, we did. Had a little bit of an incident. A strange incident.
Was he drunk?
I don't think he was drunk. I think he was just crazy.
Yeah, he just had some stuff going on.
Ray Sani. Serena has won 21 majors. The only thing I've done 21 times is get dumped by white dudes in public.
Well,
that's an accomplishment, though. I mean, most people haven't done that. You know?
Stay away from them white dudes.
Stay away from them white boys.
Stay away from them white boys.
In public, though.
Yeah, this guy, they had to call the cops on him. He was just yelling in the audience before the show even started. Just older white dude yelling about nothing. He's crazy.
Was he dressed crazy? Like, did he have raggedy clothes on?
No, shorts and a...
Mikey Larrick called it. When he went up there,
I didn't
he had
even
his back
those,
turned.
Those bright lights were on.
And Mike was like... Guy's got his back turned to you. Yeah. And then right after that.
When I came off, somebody was yelling, "Waiter, waiter." And I told Nick. I told Nick the bartender, I said, "That guy, was he yelling waiter at you?" He was like, "No, he's talking to you." I was like, "I know goddamn." I was getting ready to go back in. I was like, "I know goddamn waiter." And Nick was like, he's leaving. He's drunk. He's been here for a while. I don't know what his problem is. So Nick went and told me, "Hey, man, you got to go." And then that's when it started.
Yeah, it was.
We had to go get Pete. I was like, "Hey, man, this guy's got to leave now."
Talk about the cops.
So the cops come, which, by the way, for a white person, the privilege of just being able to lip off the cops is amazing to me. Just to tell cops what you ain't going to do. Just what you ain't going to do. Just,
hey, man.
I ain't going to do this.
Take off that badge. We're both men. You know?
Tell cops what both you men. Ain't going to do. Just the freedom white guys get to just tell police what they ain't going to do.
Well, this is a crazy
dude, the cop
dude
was
too.
Like, "You need to get your ass up." And he was like, "I'm not going." And the cop was like, "Look, I'm trying to be nice to you."
Right.
"You need to get up."
I'm sure someone might be filming this. Yeah. I'm trying to be nice to you. Yeah.
Well, Nick was telling people, because people were trying to film. Nick was like, "Don't. Stop.
Yeah.
Stop that. Don't do that.
Yeah.
Don't do that." He was walking from person to person telling him that.
Yeah.
Because people were trying to film, because that's the age we live in.
World star.
Wants to film, you know.
Well, I get the value.
And that was
though.
Pretty fucking funny.
There's
by
a value
the
in filming that stuff.
Yeah.
These
well,
days.
I had to tell, like, I told a little girl, I was like, "Get away. Come over here by me." Because she was.
"Hey, little girl. Hey, girl.
Hey, little girl.
Why don't you come over here
and
by
her
Randolph?"
Her boyfriend looked like he was not going to do nothing. I was like, "Just come over here." And
see, the privilege of black men to just tell white girls to come over here. It's just
Indian girl.
While their boyfriends just have to sit idly on their hands.
She looks like a young Aparna.
Yeah. Well, he was already sitting idly on his hands. And I was like, "Come over here, but just come over here.
Hey, girl.
Me. Get out of there.
Drop that zero. Get with this hero."
But you got to finish. You got to talk about the.
Then the two other cops came.
Yeah.
So now there's three cops. Because he told the one cop, "I'm not leaving."
The solo cop.
Yeah. And cop, he was like, "Oh, yeah, you are."
So the cop gets on his radio like, he's not
well,
leaving.
Well, they were already coming because it's Arlington.
Yeah.
So like 20 cops are coming.
Yeah.
You know, so it was, the two other cops came in, a guy and a little girl that I've seen. I call her a little girl. She's clearly younger than me, and she's fucking tiny.
And she's a cop.
Yeah. She came walking in. She had all that shit on.
Right.
She came walking
so
in,
hot.
And she was like, they rousted his ass up immediately.
Now, where
was he
sitting? Put
the bracelets on him right by that extra door.
Okay, by the vestibule.
And they roasted him right out of that door.
And he got carried out.
Oh, they took him out that door.
They carried him out.
Okay. So an electric relaxation was playing.
We never turned the music off. Yeah, because the music was still playing. Relax yourself, girl.
Please
you
settle
relate.
Down.
You couldn't relate. Now you got Siemens furniture.
I have my rights.
That's always funny, the juxtaposition. I saw once a bartender get in a fight with a bar patron. The bartender had long dreadlocks, and the bar patron was lipping off to him, and the bartender came out from behind the bar, took him down, was on top of him, choking him, while Bob Marley's Is This Love was playing. A dude who looks like Bob Marley is choking a dude, and Is This Love is playing, and no one noticed it but me. I was like, guys, this is hilarious, right? And they're like, what? Never mind, it's too late.
So funny.
So they yoked him out, and then I was going to send Lyric, as Lyric was hosting, I was like, I'm not going to do this to you. I said, look, dude, I'll host.
Right.
I told him that first, but then after they got it out, I was like, because the audience wanted this guy to fucking leave.
Yeah, they were pissed.
Right.
And I was like, I said, okay, I'll do five in front, and I'll turn them around, and I'll get them ready for you. So,
and that's what you did, Randolph.
Yeah, so I did do that.
See, you were a hero.
I used my skills.
I need a hero.
And I was in the back. I was stretching as that song was playing.
A guy who looks like he's going to the Essence Festival.
I did look like a host at the Essence Fest. I had on white jeans.
Oh, it was white jeans.
A blue shirt.
It wasn't a bad thing.
With a white Kangol.
You look cool, but it just looked
I do look like I should be hosting for
you
the
You should have been
Fest.
Down there.
Next on the stage, Frankie Beverly and Maze. Dun, dun, dun. Here we go.
I think what set off the outfit most was the Indian girl just on your hip.
Yeah, the whole time.
The whole time. she came over.
The whole time. I was like, you need to come sit over here.
Hey, girl.
Opening for Sinbad and just...
Yeah, oh, I would do that in a second.
He's
open for
hilarious.
Sinbad? Are you fucking kidding? I'd do that in a second. So the little girl, they yoked him out. And then I got back on stage, I talked about Mark Reese passing out.
The crazy
shit we've seen over the years.
That's when I first started coming. That was like Christmas or Thanksgiving.
Yeah, because it was cool. It was cold at that time.
Yeah.
And he fell down the hall. And then the thing was he wanted to go back on.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, so that's the funny part, comedians live under.
He passed
I can still
out.
Get him.
He passed out. I was hosting. It was open mic. He passed out. I had to go up and kind of... He sat down on the stool on stage because he wasn't ready to walk yet. Like, we got him off the floor. He sat on the stool, and he was kind of... He grabbed my arm to kind of support himself, and it was all of his weight was on my arm. Like, he was not ready to be upright, but he was sitting on the stool, and it was like the crowd was like, what do we do now? And so then Aparna brought him some water.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, after, like, you know, it felt like 10 minutes, probably after, like, a minute or two, he felt a little better, and he was able to gather himself and walk out of the room. And then I, being the host, did a couple minutes and kind of brought things back. And then I brought Aparna up, and she opened with the line, I didn't know I was going to have to follow a physical comic.
That's pretty funny.
Big laugh. And then so Mark went out to the lobby and, you know, just hung out, you know, got himself together. And like an hour later, toward the end of the show, he's like, guys, think maybe I could go back up there?
Yeah, can I go back up?
Redemptive moments. Yeah. We were like, no.
Did he just get nauseous or something?
Locked his knees.
Oh, okay.
And he was nervous.
He was a little nervous or something. He had some anxiety
thing
going on. He had fainted once before, I think.
He's still around, right?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Yeah,
good
he pops up. He's in Brooklyn, but he pops up.
Oh, really?
He was down here recently.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
We were talking about that at night. Last time I saw him.
What did he say?
We were laughing about it, you know. But
you can't say now.
Yeah.
You better take these jokes.
You're going to take these jokes.
Look at this work. So I told the audience, I said, fellas, let's be honest. When he was sitting there not talking, when that little woman cop came in, didn't y'all all think that it's about to go down now? Mm-hmm. Like, everybody in there was like, oh, it's about to go down now.
Some Ronda Rousey shit.
It's about to go down. It's about to go down. Now, ain't nothing worse than a tiny little woman cop.
She walks in.
This is what was playing.
Yep.
Yeah. And next thing you know, you know what he said? He said, I'd like to finish my drink. He said it like that.
And I like this.
I'd like to finish my drink. And she grabbed his wrist and said, no. And put it.
And he was like, relax yourself,
girl. He was raising it up like this, and she put it back down on the table like that.
So, please settle down.
No. Yeah. You're leaving now. She said that, and the other two cops were like already like pulling cuffs out.
Feel bad for that guy, even though he was being a
bad for his ass.
Well,
you still got that nice guy shit in you.
I know.
Yep. I like him brown, but I am not leaving until I finish my drink. Oh, you leaving, motherfucker.
I'm a veteran.
Yeah, he was a veteran, right?
I was a master sergeant in the Air Force.
Wasn't somebody a higher rank than him?
The guy was a The guy was a pilot.
Yeah.
At the minimum, that guy's a lieutenant, the pilot. I said, dude, why didn't you tell him you were like a colonel or something?
And what did he say?
And tell him to shut the fuck up. And he was like, oh, I didn't want to do that. And all his friends were like, yeah, we told him to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think it would matter.
So what the fuck's wrong with you, man?
He wasn't gonna care.
I said, aren't you a pilot? I said, what'd you tell me you were a colonel or something? Tell him to shut up. I said, you go out in the hall and think about what you could have done.
Yeah, but you're not even in the military. You can't talk to a colonel that way.
Exactly, because I'm not in the military.
I can't. Potential colonel.
You ain't nobody to me, colonel. I think we called him colonel for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
And then the show went a little long, but it was good.
Yeah, it was fun.
It's fun. They wanted to have a good time.
Yeah.
It was good.
Right? Really mixed crowd. You know?
Put that drink down, sir.
Yeah. Oh, no. Yes. That's all she said. Yes. And, like, guided it down. Yes.
Man, if there would have been a tasing or something.
Yeah.
I've never seen a tasing live. Has anyone ever seen a live?
I haven't seen a live one.
I've never seen one live.
Just on the Hangover.
And then I called.
You gotta check it out live.
I called the little lady cop dear later.
You called her what?
Dear, because she came back in. So we were standing outside like 15 minutes later. She came back in for Pete, I think, to get him to sign the report. And she was there. I said, thanks, dear. So you're very welcome. And then she walked out. I was like, I just called a cop dear.
Yeah, I was
dear.
Wondering. I was like,
thanks, dear. Yeah, because I was talking to you.
Yeah, we were eating pizza.
I said, thank you, dear.
Hey, hon.
Yeah.
Hey, babe.
I do that all the time. People try to. This girl at the gym, I had to tell her about that because I called. I said, listen, baby, you need to. I don't think you should. Somebody else said, I don't think you should call women baby. I said, I don't call just women baby. I call everybody baby.
Still, it's
ain't
more
nothing special about her.
It's different when it's a woman, though.
You know,
it is different.
Fuck out of here, man.
Her name ain't baby. It's Janet.
Yeah, right.
Miss Jackson, if you're nasty.
Jesus.
Call guys baby. You yourself, baby.
Hey, baby.
Listen, baby. Or cat. You do that one a lot.
Cat daddy.
Yeah. No, you only guys get cat daddy.
Yeah, because you can't call unless
cat daddies. Well, then you got to be a certain type. Like, this is an older brother that lifts weights with a toothpick in his mouth. He's fucking yoked up, too. He's got gray hair. Yeah. The older brother has a toothpick sticking out of his mouth. I call him Cat Daddy all the time. Hey, Cat Daddy. Hey, what's happening, man?
That might be his actual
Sometimes
name.
Sometimes he calls me Baby Brother. Hey, Baby Brother. What I say.
While Bootsy Collins is playing.
There's another older brother who wears Timberlands while he lives.
What
call
is that?
Him Cat
really?
Daddy.
Oh, okay.
It's about support for your feet when you stand.
Timberlands?
It depends on the shoe that you... I know some people who wear those boots that police wear, you know, the ones that belong, but those black boots.
Yeah.
High techs, I think is what they're called.
Like red wings or some shit?
No. It's like a specific militaristic type shoe. I think it's high tech. Then there's people who wear Chucks. That's a big one.
Okay.
Because they're flat. They're good to squat in.
Okay.
That's why I just squat barefoot. I don't worry about it. I just squat barefoot.
What about Crocs, though?
I mean, you see that occasionally. It's usually some hipster dude. There's a hipster guy who comes to the gym. He has a handlebar mustache with like the wax on it. No, he's like a little bitty dude.
But
he's young
out.
And he's got a handlebar mustache. I'm like, oh, God, come on, dude.
In Arlington?
Yeah, at the gym. I'm like, come on, man. What are you doing? Why did you look at your face before you came to the gym? Look at your face.
Your face.
The one that sticks out to the side, not the one that dips down low.
No, the Raleigh fingers.
The out to
Does
the
it
side.
Curl?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. Out to the side.
Right.
Waxed.
And he have a part in the middle of his head.
And he's fucking young. I'm like,
it's like when you see
on,
a
dude.
Poster from a boxing match in 1902.
Yes, and the guy's
yeah.
got
yeah. yeah.
They all have those mustaches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then there's the dude that used to come who a lot of prison muscles. He lifted in jeans and sometimes jean shorts, white T-shirt, and sandals.
Of course.
The yoked up black guy. A lot of prison muscles.
Had a shiv yeah. down spoon.
People are like, hey, man, tell him you should tell him he can't be in here with sandals. So, like, you go tell him.
Yeah.
I tell him shit.
Sir.
Sir.
You go tell him.
Excuse me, sir.
And then there's the worst, which is the white businessman with, like, just gym shorts and black dress socks. They're the fucking...
Hey, man, he forgot his socks today.
Worst. They're just the worst. They're just shitty people. They're exactly what you think they would be. The guy that's fucking lipping off to people in Starbucks. Now, take that guy and put him in a gym.
What is the socks the indicator?
You learn to see it after a while. I can spot like a girl who's serious about working out versus a girl who's just in there.
Right.
Guys are easy. You can always see a guy who's serious about working out and a guy who's just in there. Young guys who are just kind of fucking off.
Right.
Who don't know what they're really doing, but they're in there. You can see that.
I go to the gym.
Older dudes who are serious about being in there.
Some dudes who are working out their childhood issues.
Yeah, you see that guy. You see that guy a lot. Yeah. He's always on the verge of crying.
Right.
You see that dude. That dude a lot. He does like too many reps. You're like, you should stop. You should stop.
Maybe your dad will love you if you do 15 more.
Yeah, so you learn to spot these dudes. And then I had an interaction with that dude, with yuppie guy who's trying to do some of these. Just
right, curls?
Yeah, I had an interaction with that guy.
Does he yell at people for not wiping down their weights?
Yes. He got mad because a guy was coughing too much.
Oh, coughing too much. Okay, well, I see that. Yeah.
He was like, that guy, I mean, can you do or say something to him? I mean, it's like he's for 2 weeks now, he's just been coughing like that and carrying on.
He's got AIDS.
I said, what would you like me to do, sir? What?
What's something to do, dear?
Tell me what you would like me to do.
Yeah, dear.
He gets nothing. He gets no Honey. Baby. No, he gets sir.
Hey,
sir,
baby.
But said like this. What would you like me to do, sir?
Right.
Said like that. Did you hear that? What would you like me to do, sir?
Well, there's a couple options, I guess. One.
Ask him to leave.
Tell someone who's coughing to stop coughing. He's not doing it because he feels like it. It's involuntary.
Something's going on.
So, and then, or you just tell him to leave.
Yeah. Right. What do you want me to do? You want me to tell him to leave? I can't do that. Legally, I can't do that.
Right.
So here's what I would suggest for you. Wipe everything down. If you got to use anything he uses, just wipe it down. And stay out of his sphere of existence. Just do that. Avoid him.
You know what? Wear a SARS mask.
There you go.
While you're lifting weights.
Douchebag. Douchebag.
Get over yourself.
Exactly. And you see him. You learn to spot him in the gym. You see him after a while.
But was the guy coughing really bad, though? I mean,
no. He just had, like, a cold.
Right.
You know, so he was just like, ah.
Well, Well, after you've finished your cold, the cough can linger for, like, a week to 10 days.
Yeah, cough can linger for a long time. After and that's what he was dealing with.
Yeah, just that lingering cough. Yeah,
that guy would die in a boxing gym because people got snot coming out their noses constantly. In
blood.
Yeah, that guy would die.
AIDS everywhere.
AIDS.
A lot of AIDS in the boxing
gym. Donald Sterling. He's talking about Magic Johnson. They isolate that on the Dan Le Batard show. They just put, it's got AIDS. It's got AIDS.
That's funny.
I think it's hilarious. It's so funny.
So you didn't blow anything up with the fireworks?
No, I didn't. I hung out at a friend's house and then got home.
Female friend?
Nah.
Yeah, of course not.
Hey, buddy. Hey, man.
Of course.
Things are looking up for me.
I hope so.
Look, one of these days, St. Vincent will return your calls.
She's gay.
Is she gay?
Yeah, she's dating that model, Carla Devange. Devilinier.
Oh, she sold out. She's dating a model.
She's dating a model. Oh. I was like, what the fuck? And then I saw the picture of the model. I was like, all right.
Well, it makes sense now.
She's cute. But she's still bae.
Okay.
She's still bae.
All right.
But, you know, but there are things are looking up on, you know.
Are you on Tinder?
No, I'm afraid of it.
Have you ever tried it?
No.
Everyone's on it. Like everyone, every comic seems to be on Tinder.
I'm afraid of that stuff.
Here's the thing. It's like, are they really on it? They're just on it for the jokes.
I was on Tinder.
I think here's the thing. You get on for the jokes, but then you get a match. You're like, well, this one's not a joke. And then so you're like, you get both out of it. Why not?
Right.
Because then if you don't get any matches or don't meet anyone that you like, you'd be like, oh, I just did it for the stupid jokes. No, I wasn't really trying to meet anyone.
It's fucking...
Yeah.
I'm a little afraid.
I could see that. So you didn't blow anything off like Jim?
No.
Pierre. What are people saying about Pierre Paul in New York?
It's fucking ridiculous. Yeah. It's just crazy that he would do something like that.
Did you see the Instagram videos that he posted?
No.
He said he had like a truck.
He rented. It was like U-Haul. People were like U-Haul. It was a you know U-Haul makes those. They have those vans. Not like a big long truck, but it was still a U-Haul van.
That's still too much. If you have more than a bag of fireworks, you've got too many fireworks.
Well, these were. I mean, he had to rent it to fit all the fireworks he bought. So these were all in the back of this U-Haul van.
Go get them.
And he was in, was he in Florida or something? I don't remember where he was. But I don't know if he was in Pennsylvania, but he posted a couple Instagram videos like, oh, shit, it's about to go down. Like, you know, it's like him. And I think one of his neighbors posted, like, this is Jason Pierre-Paul's van of fireworks.
Yeah.
So, and then, like, you know, the next day it's like, Jason Pierre-Paul blew off his fingers.
Yeah, he did.
Amputated his shit. And they showed, did you see the picture of it?
That was fake.
Okay, it was fake?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was a fake picture. Oh. That was like from 4 years ago from some other accident.
Okay, because that looked horrible.
Well, I mean, he's a fucking idiot. You were at the
In the prime of your career.
Yeah. Well, he hasn't even reached a prime. He's
26.
He's coming to the prime. He's 26, you know what I mean? So... this was a contract year for him, though.
They rescinded his contract.
You would.
Yeah.
You would. I would. Andy would. We all would.
And the dude, the Disney guy that blew his head off.
That's a fucking idiot, man.
Well, there was another football player. This is the fucking thing.
I didn't know about this one.
The other football player, Jason Pierre-Paul, at least has made millions of dollars, right? He can buy a van of fireworks, so he's got money.
Yeah.
This other dude for Tampa Bay Buccaneers, like C.J. Wilson is his name or something. One of those guys you're like, what's his? I think it's a defensive back. Oh my God. So he
special teamer
supposed to be helping out.
Wedgebreaker.
C.J. Wilson. He lost two fingers. He's not a guy who has made millions of dollars. He was like one of these undrafted free agents, caught on with one team, then went to another team. He made like $500,000 last year. I think it was set to make $500,000 this year.
Yeah.
And he blew off two of his fingers.
Now going to make no thousands
this
year. God.
Hey, you can always play in Canada.
Yeah.
They love people with seven fingers in Canada.
They'll take you.
Michael Sam don't want to play.
He's back up there.
Is he playing, though?
I don't know. They were on TV yesterday, but I can't make heads or tails of it. Their uniforms look like superhero costumes. So immediately I was like, I can't watch this.
They look like fake.
Gay superheroes.
Yeah. When they're on TV and on a TV show and they can't use the real licensing.
Yeah, like that. Like the Replacements. Remember the Replacements?
The bad Eagle Sharps.
The bad what costumes. The yeah.
Animal hybrid team.
The Rough Badgers.
That's that guy was.
The Saskatchewan Badgers.
Like Any Given Sunday. The Knights.
The Alouettes.
Yeah. Right.
It was on yesterday. I was kind of watching bad football. You know, everything is just bad. The punting's bad. Passing's bad.
It feels then, like.
They always bring in a quarterback who's like a hair breath away from being in the NFL.
Right.
And then that team dominates. Yeah. You know, because I got this guy who passed really well.
Doug Flutie did that.
Yeah.
He was like
Moon.
Juan.
Didn't catch on in the NFL and went and dominated Canada for like 5 years. And they're like, we'll try him again in the NFL.
Warren Moon,
same deal.
You know, some dude is just a hair breadth away from being in.
Every year on July 5th, there's a bunch of stories about people losing hands and fingers and shit. But usually you don't get two like celebrity. I think they're not celebrities, but two professional athletes.
Why can't you just get some burgers and some dogs and just go down to the town square?
Yeah, but where's the fun in that? This is America, man. You have to blow stuff up.
Well, you can do that the right way too. You know,
really?
Like
you mean it doesn't involve putting it on my head?
Pay is your cousin wrong? To do it.
Putting it on my head is wrong.
Well, that dude. They said that he thought it was a dud.
Bullshit.
He put the shit on his head and lit it accidentally or something.
Why would you think it was a dud?
I don't know. Because you're drunk?
Why would you think it was a dud? I think the guy wanted to kill himself.
No, I don't think he wanted to kill
Every time something like that happens, I often think that. I'm like, you're trying to kill yourself by firecracker.
Kill yourself.
I don't think that's a good plan if you're going to kill yourself, is the firecracker on the head. Because what if it is a dud?
Yeah.
Now you're pissed. Yeah, that dude's mother, the guy that blew his head off, and then I think he literally blew his head off because they were like, yeah, we knew immediately he was dead.
Yeah, he blew his head off. I thought the same thing.
Yeah.
So his mother wants tougher laws for fireworks.
Man, he can't do that about that.
Second Amendment, man.
How old was that kid?
Dominique, I posted a picture.
22.
Dominique said, stop picking on Chris. I know Randolph is doing it right now. Am I picking on you, Chris?
Not yet.
Well, that just reminded
Marcus
you.
Marcus Coleman hit you with a black actors.
Black actors. People got I got excited when I found. Well, I already knew Michael B. Jordan was doing that Creed thing, but when that trailer dropped, I was
and
like,
yes, Aaron Johnson, we waiting on your email. That looks good, man.
It's gonna be good. I'm gonna see it.
The Creed movie. So basically, Rocky is
Rod
now,
called you dead bringer.
Rocky is now the old crusty trainer.
Yes.
He's Mick in this
one? He was trained. He trained Tommy Gunn.
Right. Yeah, but that doesn't count.
And they trained him. That horrible movie.
AIDS.
Then he trained himself.
Right. But now he's Mick. He's the old wise man. Like, yeah, I know a lot about boxing, kid. Listen to me.
Yeah, Apollo trained him.
Right.
Yeah.
They got that movie Southpaw coming out, too.
That's yeah, that one looks good.
Like, that's a...
Jake Gyllenhaal?
Yeah, he got shredded. But they kill Rachel McAdams in the credits. How do you kill a delicate white angel
I know,
in
it's
a
weird.
Trailer?
Like, she's not a black man.
I was like, what's going on?
She's not a black man.
Well, that's the motivation for the movie, man.
She's like, I got to get a check.
Wouldn't you avenge Rachel McAdams' death?
I would. I know I would.
Yeah, well.
Could do this for you, Rachel.
Is she on your list?
She's up the... I was talking about her last week on my
show.
She
take over Julia Stiles for you?
I think Julia Stiles is just
she's
like...
She's gone. Where's she been?
Nah, she was... I saw this movie she was in, and Taye Diggs was her husband.
Of course.
You can't stop Julia Stiles from having a black man. God bless her, man.
Of course.
I like her.
What was the movie?
I forget. It's this movie about...
My wife's going to see him and Hedwig. And
okay. Yeah, I mean, I like her, but I don't know what the movie is. But it's like these two couples that were friends in college, and they... come back and, you know, and reunite and all that bullshit.
Oh.
But I was talking about Rachel McAdams because I was comparing this movie, this Lifetime movie, how they had this one girl, the lead girl was really hot. This
right.
movie called The Perfect High, about this girl that gets...
Between Us.
Huh?
Julia Stiles.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. So this girl who's on the dance team in high school, she gets addicted to... painkillers,
Quaaludes,
and heroin, and it's just like intense.
Okay.
It's just a wacky ass movie,
right?
So she has a love interest. The guy's this goofy guy that she likes, but he's going with another girl who's not as good looking as the lead girl.
Okay.
So I was thinking, like, you know, in Mean Girls, you had Lindsay Lohan, attractive, and her competition was Rachel McAdams. Like, she had to be comparable.
Oh, she was in Mean Girls?
Yeah.
Okay.
That was her breakout role.
I never saw Mean Girls.
It's on Netflix.
Oh, okay, well.
It's fun. It's actually, it's a good, high kind of like, you know, highbrow teen movie.
Okay.
It's on the one of the better ones.
So a young Rachel McAdams was in that movie?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yeah, Rachel McAdams, she's a shit.
What is that?
This is a trailer for this movie he was talking about. I want a lot of little indie shit.
Do you guys like her in True Detective? I know you
I
guys
think
were
I've,
talking
I
about
I think I've figured out what's wrong with True Detective.
What is that?
All right, of the four lead characters, mm-hmm. other than Colin Farrell, the other three all made the same choices with their characters.
Brooding,
a lot of furrowed brows.
Yeah.
No one ever smiles. Mm-hmm. No one has ever smiled in that show. Not even like a quick moment of levity. They're all just like... whispery, like, yeah, just my whole life is heavy. Everything's heavy. It's a burden. I look down a lot.
Yeah.
Furrowed brow. I speak in clipped tones. I'm not sure what to do with this. And all three of them decided they were going to play their character that mm-hmm. way. Taylor Kitsch, Vince Vaughn, and Rachel
well,
McAdams.
If you listen to JL's latest episode that he's got up of Righteous Prick, he just kind of broke a lot of that down. Like
yeah.
he said, Taylor Kitsch. Is like he said, every time Taylor Kitsch comes on screen, you should just say that Dave Chappelle, Clayton Bigsby saying white power, because like he's gotten these opportunities
he's got no.
just because he's no not.
Well, some of it might be like you remember Star Wars, the episode one came out and everyone was stiff in that movie, but I was like, well, because the dialogue is terrible.
And which was Star Wars?
Huh?
Which the first one?
Episode one.
Oh, okay.
And it was like, oh, the dialogue's terrible.
Yeah.
So maybe the writing is bad, but it's like you know when you're in school and you do like your science projects,
yeah.
and you show up and like six people did the volcano.
Mm-hmm.
It's like that. It's like
yeah.
all three of them did. They all are like, I'm gonna do this. Is how I'm gonna do my character.
There's no nuance.
So it's gonna be like I'm just gonna be like really dour, really downbeat, and just talk like this a lot.
Yeah. About Taylor Kitsch,
like
that
Vince
dude
Vaughn
stays making bad movies.
I like
Vince Vaughn is a guy who. I mean, he's comes from humor,
mm-hmm.
but you could use humor in that role. I mean,
yeah.
when he's humorous in his regular comedy roles, he's usually like smartest guy in the room, wise
right.
guy, in control,
witty.
Leader of the group of people kind of guy. So that could still work
mm-hmm.
if there was some levity there. But he's just like, yeah, I got to whisper. I got locked in the basement.
And, that means I'm acting.
And
I'm
just my face is frozen in one position.
Yeah,
and this sucks really bad. And then like, Rachel
spoiler,
McAdams, same thing.
In the
It's just I don't know. It's a lot of
I thought it
they
was.
Keep saying
I liked
and
her.
And then Taylor
though.
Kitsch is just like, I gotta. I don't know what to do about this.
I was in a war and I'm
just
gay.
Really bad. I really whisper a lot, and then I just, and then they all get to the set. They're like, "Oh, you're doing that? Oh, I was gonna do. Oh,
yeah.
You know what? Let's all do.
You're telling that bit.
It'll be fine. Yeah. Who's okay? And then Colin Farrell's like, "You guys are fucking hacks. Like, I'm over here.
Yeah. He's got levels to what he's doing.
Yeah. He's got a lot going on. And the other three were just like, "Oh, I was just gonna look down a lot. Was that your move?
I did like that scene when that dude came back on the third episode. He was like trying to.
Spoiler alert.
Sorry.
No, we've already talked about. We talked about this last week.
We were up to episode.
I fucking refuse, man.
You refuse
you
to
get
do
like a week. I'm not gonna not talk about shit to save your fucking. So, well, look, man. I've TiVo'd it. I let them. And I just binge watch. So don't talk about it.
The
Fuck
fourth
you.
One would have aired by the time that this comes out.
Yes.
Okay. So.
Yeah, and we're talking about episode three at this point.
Yeah.
So they ain't seen it too bad, so sad.
I'm not gonna. I just like how she took control. Like she's. I like Rachel McAdams, and I know a lot of people were kind of shitting on it, but I don't. The first True Detective, I liked it, but some people, you know, they kind of size a lot of these things and make it bigger than it is. It was just a solid show.
I liked it a lot.
I enjoyed it. I mean, I'm a detective show fan.
Yeah. Yeah, I like right. it a lot.
So I like seeing how they're gonna
like making
catch
flowers
the guy.
On people.
Huh?
Like making flowers on people. You remember that scene from the first one?
Oh yeah, that's great.
You haven't made flowers on me in a long time.
Oh yeah, Jesus Christ.
Tell me about Grandpa.
Oh God. Yeah, it's all right. I think you got to let it play out. There's five more episodes left.
Yeah, there's only 8 episodes, and they've already done 3, and it's just a lot of like, oh man, heavy.
Yeah.
Things are heavy.
Acting heavy.
I'm really, it's just, you know, it's like watching an Eddie Vedder interview from 93, where it's just like, oh, just really tough right now.
Idris Elba did it well in Luther.
Well, that's the thing. He didn't have 3 other people doing it. That's the thing. They're all the same person.
Right.
And there's no difference between any of them.
Yeah.
And then there's that weird drunk other cop
and
Colin Farrell. And they can't carry. They're not in every scene. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got Taylor Kitsch just, you know, oh, okay, we're going to learn more about him. He just met his friend. And we're going to learn more about him. He's just like, yeah, just that was tough back then.
Nobody else's life seems to be as interesting as the Colin Farrell character.
Right. Well, they've explored it more.
Yeah.
They got the kid. They got the past.
We just know Rachel McAdams looks at porn.
And she's got a weird father.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And she had some shit in her childhood.
Yeah.
And Taylor Kitsch has some shit. We don't know. We don't know anything about him.
Something to do with war.
Vince Vaughn was in a basement.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We got a lot of information from that one scene.
I like to look at recaps of shows. Like there's a one blog, Rope of Silicon. There's Alan Sepinwall. There's the AV Club. And I just kind of peruse over those. I usually watch each episode twice.
Really?
Yeah.
Take notes. Kind of, do you take little notes?
Mental notes. Yeah. Just to kind of catch up because I'm slow.
Do you guys want to do emails?
Yeah. Give me a couple. Where are we at?
We're at 113.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. We have done nothing.
No, actually, we have covered a lot of stuff.
I mean, we've gotten to nothing. Like
we talked about Bill. Hey, did you want to read some of the doc? Well, let's do the emails. Let me read some of the.
We got emails. I think we only have 2 or 3. We got 2 from Monique because she emailed us last week, but it was too late. And so she emailed us about the previous week's episodes. So that's episode 478, 479. Y'all always talking about my favorite things. First 90s R&B and now erotica. Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. And fellas, personally, I call a man's penis his dick. Well, that's because you're black, Monique.
You're black.
I can't tell my bae to fuck my cunt with your cock. Well, we didn't get into the cunt part.
We didn't go that deep, but okay.
By the way, you could tell him that.
And he would
He'd
do
be
it.
Completely
He'd
fine.
Do it. He'd totally
He'd do it.
Yeah. Oh, would you say that again? Hey, me, I kind of like that. Call it. Don't call it your cunt. That's a little unattractive. But I don't think a woman calling it her cunt would really do it.
That's not going to warn him off.
Fill my cunt. No, I don't think
no,
so.
No, I don't want to do that now. I'm creeped out. He's not going to say that.
But Monique said that's weird. It's give me that big dick. That's her go-to.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you got big in
that. That is a good one. The fact that you put big in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could go huge if you want, but big is fine.
Yeah. You got to whisper that into the ear. That's the way to do it.
And then
give
she
me
says,
that family size.
Family size. Can you supersize that dick for me and bring it over here?
That. give Sam's, me that. Sam's Club, BJ's.
Yeah, give me that Costco dick.
Big Lots dick.
That Costco dick.
Fucking Costco dick. You want? And she says, yes, for 911 is a joke, which I closed that show, that episode with. Flavor Flav's greatest composition, except for the show Flavor of Love, which was terrible. Andy, your sarcasm is legendary, especially when y'all were talking about Bristol Palin's double standard ass. Malia or Sasha Obama would be the whores of Babylon in the same situation.
Mm-hmm.
What is Trip? Some kind of rap name? I love it. I guffawed so loudly while driving to work. You make my days just a little brighter when you start riffing. I never entertained joining a Greek organization while in college.
Good.
Is it as bad for women? I don't know. I don't,
probably.
Maybe it's worse.
Might be worse.
Yeah.
The cattiness.
I wasn't about to pay for more shit. Tuition was already high enough.
Yeah.
You can't get financial aid for a frat, I guess, or a sorority. I believe that my friends and I created a fake one. That was good enough for us, LOL. I just think the black frats are entertaining, especially the Kappas. Oh, yeah, fuck that EMT worker. I get it. Most of y'all talk shit every day about what we ain't gone do at work. That shit stops at the level of making copies, not when a person's life is in the balance. Anyway, awesome show. Hi, Philippe. Hi, Tim. Deuces. They're not. Neither one of them are here.
Not today.
And then we got another email from her, but before I get to that, we'll get to James's email. James drops a few N bombs on this one, so
whoa.
I'm gonna go ninja.
Trying to get you.
Go ninja. The title of the email: 10 my ass. LOL. What's up, three guys? On once again, great show, and as always, I can't wait until Monday and Thursday so I can hear your guys' opinion and views on the world. But this particular week, Randolph, I think you might have bit a little too deep in your Hennessy cup.
Interesting.
Might have been a little too deep.
Let's hear it.
Jill Scott is beautiful, full-figured, and I take nothing from that. But I'd be damned if that fat bitch a 10.
Well, here's the thing. She rolls. Like I said, she floats.
He talks about that.
Yeah.
Cute, yes. Sexy, yes. Dime, hell no. That's them 50-year-old Negro eyes.
That's getting close.
Y'all old ninjas love fat black women, LOL. Nothing wrong with that. But Tim immediately hit you with the young ninja pause and was like, ninja no, LOL.
Yeah.
Priceless. Just the sentence alone was forced. You said she flirts from 7 to 10. You actually said 6 to 10.
6 to 10.
And he goes, dude, that's a lot of wiggle room. That's even more wiggle room.
It's a huge amount of wiggle room. I'm not disputing that. She floats around.
But great show. One of my favorite episodes. And side question, does Andy have a fade? He is so Negro knowledgeable.
He's had fades.
I have.
It's easy to be careful.
It depends on who cuts my hair. I go to the barbershop and I tell them what I want and I leave fairly happy with that. But you can't go to a white barbershop and ask for a fade.
Tell you get a fade.
They don't really know what that means. You can describe what that is. You can say, I want a little shorter and a little and like tapered, and they'll do it. So if I get it short enough, it kind of looks like a fade. I've had people say, oh, you got a fade.
Give you the John B.
Yeah, the John B.
Yeah, but I don't necessarily.
Andy could go to a black barbershop and put it like that.
Yeah,
I might.
He easily go to a black barbershop.
I might have to switch up my barbershop.
If you wanted to, it wouldn't be a problem.
I go to a very white barbershop.
Yeah.
Which is, it's good though. It's like
two older white guys with white.
There's two on. White guys, yeah. Old white guys. I think one of them owns it with like white hair.
With an Esquire magazine.
There was a third.
Jet.
The Washington Post.
The Washington Post.
There was a third
it's
white
very,
guy.
Very
and then,
bright. No, no yeah. music.
One day I was in there and. And they were
let's
like,
get a phosphate.
Old jazz standard.
They're like, oh, Bob died. So, like, the third white guy died.
Oh, man.
Someone was like, yeah, he didn't answer his phone, and it just said someone over there, and he was dead. Next. And so,
shit.
So, I guess the third, but there's two white guys, and then there's two Asian women and one Asian guy, and then another Asian woman who's like, she looks like an Asian Judge Judy. She's the oldest one there. She's a little bit iffy. I mean, I'm just going to go to who's next. I won't wait for someone.
Oh, you don't?
No, because they're all.
I can tell.
Yeah,
yeah, I can totally tell.
But she is the one that I would possibly say no to.
Mm-hmm.
The other ones, in fact, the Asian women and the Asian dude are probably better. The white guys aren't that good anymore. They're past their prime. At this point, they're a little old.
Yeah, they've lost some speed off their fastball.
Go to a hood shop.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but there's a new barber shop by the new Safeway.
When you go to the hood shop, you go to your barber that you.
We go to your guy.
You
yeah,
pick one dude and you stick.
See,
with
I want to be in and out in 15 minutes.
Yeah,
nah, yeah.
That's
nah.
Yeah, I don't want to be like I don't want to get the whole experience.
You could have a guy, and then go. go to, like, if you're
on
off
Monday,
work or something.
On their appointment day.
Yeah.
Costs a little more.
No, you go when they're there.
I just go and I'm just like, okay, whoever's next is cutting my hair.
I call my guy.
Traditionally,
it's his
barbers
shop.
Are closed on Sunday and Monday, but Monday is their appointment day. Like,
so that's
like,
the extra
just
special.
Go do appointments. It costs a little more, and you're in and out. You
my
walk
barber
in at one, get your hair cut, walk back out.
My barber knows, he owns the piss place, so I just call him, say, what time are you going to be there? He's like, 7. I was like, I'll be there.
Yeah.
And if he's got too many people, I'll see you next time. See you tomorrow.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, I can't do all that. I'm not trying to hang out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't hang out either.
That's part of the experience.
Though. I'm just out. I'm just
on a Saturday.
I do like talking to people, though, when
on
I'm
Saturday,
in.
Yeah. On a Saturday morning, it's not too bad.
Monique has another email from episode 481, which was last week. Y'all motherfuckers are the goats of podcasting. That's greatest of all time.
Greatest of all time.
I swear that Lemmy
with Serena,
outdo.
With Serena Williams.
We're basically a Serena Williams podcast. That Let Me Out Doe and Tim's asshole licking riff has made my entire life so far this year.
Lick your asshole.
Hey, Haywood. Hi, Andy. Y'all always give a great show, but I was at work listening to this episode. Like, you can't go no further than this, and that goddamn Tim kept pushing it, LOL. He made up for all the times his ass has been off raising a daughter.
Well.
Oh, yeah. The interplay between Tim and Randolph when Randolph was like, would you forgive somebody who shot your daughter? Shit felt like it was about to get real, son.
It's just a simple question. That's what it comes down to. Would you?
This episode had me feeling like I was eavesdropping on some like barbershop talk. There you go.
There you go.
Thoroughly enjoyed y'all. Then you played my fave, Jodeci, Stay, up under all that gutter bucket talking. Yes. More. Thank you. But yeah, Tim, sometimes when Tim is on, you just got to get out of his way.
Yeah, you just let him go.
I think there was some liquor flowing last week, too.
Yeah, we were drinking a little bit of liquor flowing. We were drinking, but just let it go. He had been here a while, so he had pent up energy.
He Russell Westbrooked you guys.
Yeah, you just let it go, man. Just let it go.
And that's all the emails.
Russell Westbrook, you see, he's not him and Sierra ain't fucking.
No, that's Russell Wilson.
Russell Wilson.
Excuse me, Russell Wilson.
Yeah. He might just be saying that.
He's fucking every orifice on her except her pussy. He's invented. You know how much of the back of her knee he's fucked by now, I'm sure. just bend your leg and let me fuck your knee.
I think he's
just get the lube. It's fine. It feels just
everything
feels close.
On her. I've known dudes like that, religious dudes like that. They fuck anything but the pussy.
But he's already had relationships where he's fucked.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
So but he wants like this one's special. Yeah, and this is different. So he wants this to be like
some stupid shit you doing, buddy.
The one. Right.
Yeah. He's doing her.
But I don't understand announcing that to the world. Why is that anyone's business?
Yeah, you shouldn't have to say anything about
and
it.
You're setting yourself up because when they break up, and they're going to, people are going to be like, man, you didn't even fuck, dog, and now you're broken up.
What are you, gay? You gay?
You didn't even fuck, man.
What are you gay? What would you call Michael Sam, huh?
Yeah.
Gay?
Yeah.
Idiot.
Michael Sam.
Is he like a real religious guy, Russell Wilson?
Yeah.
From Richmond,
he's
Virginia?
He's always in the hospital. Like,
talking to kids, you mean?
Yeah. His Instagram is full. I was talking to Maranzio Vance a couple months ago, and we were talking about black quarterbacks.
Yeah.
And he was like, man, Russell Wilson, he's in the hospital more than the sick kids that's in the hospital. He's always there. And I was looking at his Instagram, because I do follow him, black quarterbacks, hashtag. And he's always in there.
Yeah.
God bless him, you know. It's like, do you ever take a break?
No.
Russell?
He loves the kids, man.
Yeah.
No. He's a good guy.
He loves kids and not fucking.
Whoa.
What is Ciara doing with her life these days?
She used to date Bow Wow, right?
Being his lady. That's all.
Like, is she still like doing anything? Is she still?
That's all.
Did she put out an album recently?
I don't know.
Tim?
I don't know too much of her stuff. I know she's attractive.
Oh, here's how it came out. Earlier this week, Russell Wilson, the Seattle Seahawks quarterback, was being interviewed in front of the congregation at the Rock Church.
That's why. Yeah.
And was asked about his relationship with singer and dancer Ciara. Wilson said that God spoke to him and encouraged him to lead Ciara by taking all that extra stuff off the table. He went on to say, so I told her right then and there, what would you do if we did it Jesus's way? And I guess she apparently enthusiastically agreed, and within 24 hours, the sport. So they might have been fucking up to that point.
Yeah.
Right. Wow. And when then God spoke to him, God was
like,
"Hey, man,
stupid shit you doing, buddy.
Hey, Russell, it's God. Maybe you shouldn't fuck Ciara too so much, right?" And then he was like, "Okay, God."
She's got out 6 albums. Latest album is called Jackie.
She's had six albums.
Yeah, Jackie was released this
year.
She's
had more albums than Amy Winehouse.
Well, Amy Winehouse died.
No, she died.
She had more albums than Nirvana.
Jackie,
well, Kurt Cobain died.
Ciara made it. She's 29 years old. So all you know, Cobain died at 27.
Yeah.
So did Amy.
The 27 Club.
Yeah.
So did Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
Yep. Did you see that movie with Andre?
No, I refuse.
It wasn't that good.
It was bad.
Wasn't that straight to video?
Yeah. It wasn't on iTunes.
Straight to Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
It's on Netflix now. It was just like,
I refuse. Yeah, dig. It's like, dig.
Yeah, I see him. I see the...
It's like I can see colors.
You know, they
when
put
I
the
play.
Still shot up the thing. Right. It's like him saying that. Come on, man.
I think Wood Harris might have had a better...
They couldn't even use Jimi Hendrix's real music. In that movie. At that point, just don't make it.
Like he did. There was one scene where they did a cover of a Beatles song. It was what?
Yeah, he did some Beatles covers.
Yeah, so that was real.
The real Hendrix did, yeah.
Okay.
Sergeant Pepper, he did that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So he did their whole album?
No, he did the opening song from Sergeant Pepper.
Why did he do that? Just was he being a dick or was
he a fan? No, no, no.
He's a fan.
Covers were...
Sign of respect.
It was different back then. He heard the album before it had come out, or maybe it had just come out, and he just went on stage and played it because he liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, he covered a lot of songs. He covered a lot of Dylan songs in particular. But yeah, that was just like, this is my little homage.
They weren't pissed off, were they?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No.
It wasn't like that. Cool.
It wasn't like that.
Nobody did covers just to be assholes.
Oh, what are you doing, man?
Here's how you should do a song.
Think it better than me.
Did it because we liked it.
Sing my song?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, there would be like 3 or 4 bands that would all do a cover of the same song.
Okay.
You know, and Hey Joe is a cover. Like Hendrix, some of his hit songs, Along the Watchtower cover. So it was different. It was a different world back then.
Well, I know my parents love me.
So they showed they could use the Beatles song in the movie. I guess they could use the...
they couldn't use the Hendrix. Because the Hendrix estate probably wouldn't sign off.
I go to you guys for that knowledge.
The Hendrix stuff?
Well, stuff that I don't know about.
Rock music?
Rock, because I don't know rock.
Rock records?
I start at Another Bad Creation and Boys to Men.
Is that where you start? Like, that's the beginning. That's the beginning of your musical knowledge.
Ariana Grande. No, I'm just playing.
Where are we at?
1 hour and 27 minutes.
You want to bring this one home?
Let's do it.
We did talk about some stuff today.
This is Hendrix doing Sergeant Pepper's.
We're gonna bring it. We're gonna close up on this.
I don't know. It's kind of short.
Is it?
Yeah.
You can run it and roll it back and run it again. I don't want to start saying the closeout stuff. But.
There you go.
Yeah, they had that scene. Where did he do that at?
Somewhere in England, I think.
Because they did have that scene. And they were they in the audience?
I don't know if they were in the audience. Maybe one of them
was
there.
Maybe the movie
or
something.
Paul McCartney was there or something. Yeah, that was that. They were all cool. They
he
were
had
all,
some nice women in that video, in that movie.
A lot of white women.
Yep, one black.
Hey, girl, I'm Jimi Hendrix.
Hey, dig.
I see colors when I play. Dig.
Carmen. Right. Carmen just sent me a text.
You put her business out there like that.
Yeah. Cause Carmen's trying to come get this.
Carmen Lynch, the super talent.
She's gonna be in town.
You should get her on.
Week. Maybe.
She's so funny, Carmen Lynch.
All right, so we're wrapping this one up?
Yeah, man.
We should wrap this up. We're kind of on
Randolph
fumes
putting
here.
Putting the business in the streets.
Yeah, man. She wants me to show her something.
Okay.
Not like that.
Yes, let's...
thanks for tuning in, guys.
So Chris, you got any social stuff you want to give us?
Check me out at chrislambert.com, Chris Lambert on Twitter and Instagram, and... Facebook. I'm on Facebook. That's it.
Good. Y'all know where we're at this week.
Thursday.
Yeah.
We are at Specific Ignorance at Beer Baron at 6:30.
Yes.
We should have opened the podcast by saying that.
Probably should have. We'll open up Thursdays.
We'll tweet about it and stuff.
Oh, yeah. Should I do plugs too?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. If you got any shows coming up,
I'll be at QED Astoria on the 16th in Astoria, Queens. Sue Funk and Katie Compa. Mm. And then I'll be at Memphis Maze on the 17th at Croton on Hudson. So that's in Westchester. So those are some dates.
There you go.
I'm going to be in Leesburg, Virginia on Saturday, July 18th. I don't even know where. It'll be on my website sometime this week.
I haven't told you that yet?
I'm just going to email the guy. Hey, where do you need me to be and what time on Saturday? Saturday. I'm headlining a show. So there you go. That's my hometown, man. I hope you all come out and represent. I hope none of you come out.
At the Improv on the 15th. See, Improv's open mic. They asked me to come through and do it. I'm going to go through and do it. And then, like Andy said, the next night with Specific Ignorance. And the next week, next month, August 13th, 14th, 15th, I'm at the Improv with Joey Diaz. Come on through. And I guess that's it. We want to thank Chris for sitting in with us today. He'll be here with us on Thursday. Hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. As always, we enjoy bringing it to you. And we'll holler back. I'm Randolph Terrence.
I'm Andy Klein.
And I'm Chris Lambert.
That is very proper of you. We are Three Guys On. We are out. Choke the life out you.
I love you. I love you. I love you. Anyhow, I don't care if you don't want me. I'm yours right now. I'll put a spell on you.